The Retro Radio Podcast is home of the Retrobots.
I'm David.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Duncan.
Who are you and what are you doing here?
Presenting family-friendly entertainment in the form of classic old-time radio shows.
Now, wait a minute.
Visit the homepage at retro-otr.com.
Are you kidding?
While you're there, leave us an email, comment on any of the show notes. You could even like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.
Never ceases to amaze me.
We would love to hear from you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Retro Radio Podcast. This is your host, Keith, and I have a presentation today of Dick Powell as Richard Diamond. This episode first aired on March the 23rd, 1951, and it is called Little Shiva. It's a story that has to do with voodoo, and Richard Diamond goes to Haiti to investigate this, and there's all sorts of overtones of religious superstitions going on, but he manages to find his bad guy in a good old-fashioned way. I'll leave it at that and let you enjoy the tale as it unfolds. I wasn't going to plan on doing this exactly, but in my looking up a few tidbits of trivia on Dick Powell, I found out sort of kind of a link to Lyman Abner. And I mention Lyman Abner because I have been featuring it pretty much as a daily thing. For the time being, I'll probably cease making it a daily thing, but probably not until October-ish or so. I'll bring back my weekly episodes that I had been doing previously in the year. So I've been trying to crunch through as many of these episodes from 1942 as I can until then. And I must say, I'm saying all this, I have a point. I really do. Because lately I've been getting a lot of likes on my podcast, which I haven't always in the past. I try to be out there on social medias. I've been on Twitter for quite some time and Facebook. And in the past year or more, I've kind of been off and on involved with WordPress.com. Which is a community of bloggers. I've taken on a bit of a writing challenge a little over a year ago, which I had some fun with. Took on a poetry challenge not too long ago, which I had a hard time keeping up with, but I got through it. And I tried doing another writing challenge just recently, and I haven't been posting anything, but I have been writing things. So I know I said I was going to do that, and people may be wondering, where's my stuff? Well, it's coming. But I still haven't made my point. My point is lots of likes. And lately, there's been a blogger out there who goes by the handle of Dr. E. Miller. I don't know if they are an actual doctor or not. And they've been hit the like button on several things. Some musical stuff by Andrew's Sisters. I know got some likes from Doc Miller and others. Little Orphan Annie, I seen got a like, and I also noticed that my download stats on that are kind of growing. I don't know if people are discovering it and liking it more. I know it was kind of slow there for a long time. I really have kind of gotten to like Little Orphan Annie. The radio show I like a lot better than the cartoon series, I'll even say. But I mentioned Doc Miller because if people are fans of Lyman Abner, know that old Doc Miller is the character on their Christmas episode. I don't know if this old Doc Miller is aware of that. So as time unfolds, no doubt there will be a Christmas episode where they'll be mentioned. How about that? They didn't even know that, I bet you. Unless they're old enough to remember such things or are a fan of old-time radio. From the number of likes I've been getting on my Lyman Abner and things, I would guess that if they weren't, they maybe are now. I hope you're listening to it, too, not just clicking the likes and reading the show notes, although that's pretty nifty. Thanks a lot for doing that. I really, really do appreciate that. I had a few new likes on the Facebook page from you, the fans. I need to run down my list of people who have done that lately. I've never done that. I know other podcasters do keep up on who's liking the page and who's mentioning them. I have really fallen short with that, but that maybe that's something that I could do to give a salute back to you, the listener of the podcast. Another inadvertent link with Lemon Abner today, besides good old Doc Miller, thanks, is Dick Powell. I knew some stuff about Dick Powell. I knew he was a singer, an actor, a producer, a radio voiceover actor. You know what? I did not know that he was from Arkansas. And guess where he was from? A little place called Little Rock. Little Rock is not too awfully far from Lemon Abner stomping grounds. I think Hot Springs, is it? Is a little closer to Lemon Abner territory. Little Rock's a little bit further north than that. And so, hey, there could be a little bit of a link there. He went to Little Rock College. He sang in some kind of a singing group there, and that's how he got his start, really. He was a singer. And then he got into the entertainment biz, I think in movies first. And by the time he did radio, he was pretty much a name out there. And he stayed in movies as a director. And I could get more into it, but, you know, I've been going on for quite some time. And so I will transition over to some things. I wanted to just present maybe a couple snippets from good old Lemon Abner, because
I ain't interested in the observatory.
Yes, you are.
You are
and just don't know it. Some of your money helped buy this place, didn't it?
Well, yeah, but that's all the farther I want to go with it, Lum. I'm done right now.
Now, listen, Abner, don't you want to get to be a junior scientific?
No, I don't. Junior scientific?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to mention this particularly because a couple of my favorite story arcs in Lemon Abner, one of them I just kind of did a summary on a while back as I was transitioning from the 1949 half-hour shows to these 15-minute shows I've been featuring, is about Diogenes Smith, and he came to town with the printing press, and the comedy and hilarity ensues. Go back and listen to it if you want. I won't get into it. Out of all the Lemon Abner storylines I ever heard, besides Diogenes Smith, I really like their forays into the movie biz, where they had a theater for a little while, movie theater, that Squire Skimp wanted to get a piece of. I kind of like their bit that they did with the circus, the earlier one from 1935, not so much one that they did in later years, although when you combine the two, it kind of fills in some gaps where some shows are missing.
Well, we can't leave the box this way. I reckon we just have to knock out the door jam.
Well, good.
You got a hammer in your car, Cedric?
Well, this wood's old. I believe I can just kick it out.
Well, all right, but don't ruin it any more than you have to now.
Yeah, hurry up. Kick it out of there, Cedric. Just get out of here.
That ought to be big enough opening.
Why, sure, that ought to do it. Come on now, just push the box outdoors and get on home.
Yes, ma'am. Was you fellas trying to get this box outdoors?
Why, sure.
I thought you was trying to get it inside. I've been shoving it back in all this time.
But I really, really like the rocket ship to Mars. It was so weird. Funny in its own little Lemon Abner way. Hey, whoever thought of building an observatory in a shack in town, or building a rocket out of wood with varnish? Okay.
Well, how are we going to get down to the observatory then? That thing will never go through that door, I can tell you that right now, Lum.
I know it won't, but here's what we done. We tore out the whole north side of the building.
Tore it out?
Yeah. Might not have ruined the observatory, but leastways we can get the rocket ship out now. Yeah. And that's more important right now.
Well, I reckon it is. I don't believe there's much use for having that observatory anymore no way, Lum. All we used it for was to look at Mars, and Now we're taking a trip up there where we can do all the looking we need to from right there.
Yeah, I believe you're right there, Abner.
No, ought to be able to see it if we're standing on it.
To be right honest, I never could make out anything through that telescope, Professor. No way.
No, me neither. And going up there will be a heap better. That is, we get there in the daytime.
Well, don't worry about that. We'll more than likely stay there several days. We'll have a lot of opportunity to see Mars in the daylight.
We will, huh?
Yeah, Professor Sloan's making out a list of things he wants us to check up on when we're up there.
Check up on?
Yeah, we have to take pictures and test the minerals in the ground and write up reports and I don't know what all. So you see, that'll take us quite a while.
Oh, sure.
No, we'll be there in the daytime.
Yeah, well, I better have Elizabeth pack us a bigger launch in. Yes, sir. Better take along some postcards, too. Little Pearl just loves to get them postcards.
Well, they might have some postcards up there, Abner.
Huh?
You want to send some that's got a picture of the hotel we're staying at?
Oh, sure, yeah, I'll do that. Want to put a cross mark on the window where our room's at, too, so she'll know.
Yeah, of course, we might not stay in a hotel, though.
Huh?
They might not have hotels up there on Mars.
Oh?
Maybe they just live in caves or something.
Well, I'll just put a cross mark on the cave, then.
Crazy. I won't say much more about it, because at this point in time, I'm still running that series. And if you're listening to this in the far-flung future of, I don't know when, you're probably not seeing it on the podcast page right now, but I'm sure it is archived in there. Just search around for Lemon Abner. My goal is to get all the known Lemon Abner shows out there on the podcast site. So hopefully in the far-flung future of whenever you may be listening, you'll find them all. But I have a little ways to go still to get that done. Anyway, that's some random thoughts that I had. And so now comes the part where we get busy with our detective show and where I say, take it away, Retrobots.
Here's the classy voice of Rosetta Tharpe, Trouble in Mind.
And now, Time for our featured presentation.
The makers of Camel cigarettes present Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective.
Mild can a cigarette be? One puff won't tell you. One sniff won't tell you. It takes day in, day out smoking to find out how mild a cigarette is, how well it agrees with your throat. Make the sensible cigarette test, the thorough test. Smoke only Camels for 30 days and see just how mild a cigarette can be.
Transcribed is Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was cold out, and it had been raining. When it got a little warmer, it would probably snow. The whole city was covered with a heavy sheet of ice, and the steam heat in my office gurgled and clouded up the windows. I was feeling pretty good. I was warm. I'd had one client in the past week, and my bank account was on its way to recovery, and a good breakfast in the drugstore downstairs had made me comfortable and drowsy. I put my feet up on the desk, leaned back in my chair, and closed my eyes.
Mr. Diamond?
I must have been napping and didn't know it. I hadn't heard the door open, but there he stood, framed in the door, resting his weight on the jamb, and looking across the room at me with tired eyes.
Mr. Diamond?
Yes, what can I do for you?
My name is Abel Gunther. I want to hire you.
All right, Mr. Gunther, I charge $100 a day in expenses.
I don't think I can pay it. I can pay you some, but I don't think I can pay you that much.
Well, that's my fee for you or Rockefeller. I got expenses.
I see. Well, I'll keep looking. I need help. Perhaps you could recommend someone?
Well, you'll pardon me for saying so, but you don't look too well, Mr. Gunther.
I'm pretty sick, Mr. Dan.
Maybe you'd better sit down and tell me what your problem is.
I can't afford the money.
That's all right. Tell me about it anyway.
I think I had better sit down.
Yes, you better. What's wrong? You got the flu or something?
No. I'm afraid it's a little more serious. Would you really like to hear my story?
I think I really would.
I'm a farmer, Mr. Diamond. My home is Haiti, near Saint-Nazaire.
Haiti?
Yes. The West Indies. I was born there, raised there. My parents died when I was 13. I have a wife. She's there now, and she is the main reason I have come here seeking help. My wife is dying, Mr. Diamond. I must get help quickly before it is too late. I have a
farm. He kept talking, telling me about his life on Haiti. He told me about his farm, a fairly good-sized farm by his description. He told me how in the past 2 years things began to go wrong on his farm. And soon all the farms in the area were also having trouble.
The cane fields would burn every year. Then it was the cattle. One by one, they became sick. Then my wife, and now me.
And you don't know what's wrong with either of you, huh?
Yes and no. My Christian religion fights it, but my life on Haiti has taught me deep respect for it.
Respect for what?
Voodoo, Mr. Diamond. Oh, I know just what you're thinking. But a doctor in Haiti has examined my wife and can find nothing wrong.
Well, I don't particularly believe in anything like that, Mr. Gunther. But if you do, why did you come to me?
I said I had a healthy respect for it. I don't entirely believe it, but some of the things I've seen make it difficult to disbelieve. I came to you because I suspect the possibility of something more. Immediately after my wife was taken ill, I received an offer for my farm, a very low offer from a Saint-Léger banker. I investigated, found it had been made in the interests of one Arthur Cotswold.
Arthur Cotswold.
Haiti's biggest planter.
Oh. How about the other farmers?
They received offers like mine. Being the oldest farmer, the rest looked to me for guidance. I told them to wait. Then I came here to hire someone to look into the matter.
Would you like some water?
No. No, thank you. All right.
Anyone else become ill besides you and your wife?
Yes. Several others. I have $368 in my ticket home. The money is yours if you will go to Haiti and investigate.
Have you been to a doctor here in New York?
No. Mr. Diamond here. Directions how to get to my farm. My servant, little Chiba, is there. No one knows I came.
Mr. Gunther. Mr. Gunther. Hello, Walt.
Oh, Rick.
Yeah. Better get up to my office. I've got a dead man for you.
Are you kidding?
That's what Gunther told me.
Voodoo?
Voodoo, smoodoo. That's what the man said.
Now, steady, boy.
Oh, stop it, Walt. You know I don't believe it.
But you're going down to Haiti.
Well, somebody's got to tell the wife.
The local authorities can do that. Hey.
Now, what's the matter?
The local authorities in Haiti. Why didn't Gunther go to them if he thought there was something phony about the setup?
You want an opinion?
If you can strain one out.
Well, Gunther probably didn't go to the Haiti authorities because he knew they'd think just what you're thinking.
Okay, so I'm crazy.
Well, Gunther died in my office. He came a long way for help, and the poor guy wanted to give me his last $368. So I'm going to Haiti. I'll send you a zombie. Promised to send a wire in care of the authorities in Saint-Léger as soon as he got an autopsy report on Mr. Gunther, and I headed to the airline's ticket office. By 8 o'clock that evening, I was in an airline's flagship at 12,000 feet heading for the West Indies and Haiti. The trip wasn't bad. We landed in Miami, where I grabbed a cup of coffee and then climbed aboard a clipper for Port-au-Prince. At Port-au-Prince, I took a bus to Saint-Léger, and from there, a beaten-up taxi to the Gunther farm, about 10 miles into the country. As we neared the farm, I could see a crowd of people standing around in front of the house. And as I climbed out of the cab and approached them, they turned, and their hushed conversations were suddenly stilled. I didn't know what it was. No one said a word. But something was wrong. I could feel it. I walked through the crowd to the house and stopped cold as the door opened.
Who are you?
I'd never seen anything like him. He was a native and he ducked his head as he stepped out of the door to face me. He was a good 7 feet tall, or maybe more. He must have weighed close to 300. He stood on his bare feet, his long, muscled arms hanging loosely at his sides. He looked at me with dark, shiny eyes.
Dear little Chiba, who are you?
Oh, me, very little Richard Diamond. Mr. Gunther hired me to come here.
You from New York?
Oh, yes. Mr. Gunther couldn't come back.
He died.
That's right. How did you know?
You come in?
Sure. What are all those people doing out there?
Their friend's madam. She died too.
Little Sheba led the way into the bedroom where Mrs. Gunther lay on the bed, covered with a fresh white sheet, her eyes closed in death, her face drawn and tired. Little Sheba told me she had died the day before, about 3 p.m, and a cold chill ran up my back. I remembered her husband lying on the floor of my office about 3 p.m, the day before.
What do you do here?
Mr. Gunther wanted me to find out why the cattle are getting sick, why the fields are burning, why he and his wife became ill.
Bad voodoo.
Well, he thought it might have something to do with a man named Cutswall.
He big man.
What are those drums?
For madam and mister. They voodoo. Good voodoo. Give blessing for spirit for madam and mister.
Oh. You, see, little chief, the mister, Mr. Gunther wanted me to help him. He paid me money to help him and died asking for help. I'm going to try and do what I can.
The madam and Mr. Good people teach little Chiva. They take little Chiva when he's small boy and make good life. You good man, little Chiva help you.
Right then, I inherited Little Cheetah. And if there was going to be any trouble, the giant servant would certainly help to make up the difference. The first thing I wanted to do was contact the local authorities in Saint-Léger. And Little Cheetah told me my man was one Inspector LaPlanche.
A very fine person, Mr. Gunther. I'm sorry he's dead.
Well, how'd everybody know he was dead?
On Haiti, things of such nature are never a secret. The natives know.
Voodoo?
Being a stranger to Haiti, Mr. Diamond, I expect you to be a skeptic.
But you believe in voodoo?
Let us say I've been in Haiti too long not to believe.
Gunther thought the whole thing might have something to do with a man named Cotswold.
I would suggest you forget Mr. Cotswold.
Then I suggest you give me a good reason to forget him.
Mr. Cotswold is a very big man on Haiti, the largest plantation owner in the West Indies, and a self-made man with a considerable temper.
Well, thanks for the advice, Inspector. But supposing I come up with something incriminating?
If Mr. Cotswold has breached the law, it would certainly be my duty to arrest him. But I am not considering the arrest. More, the necessary steps that would have to be taken to prove the guilt. Dangerous steps, Mr. Diamond. One might trip on those steps.
And break his neck.
Yes.
You like the middle of the road, huh?
It is much easier to see what is ahead.
It's possible to get run down from behind.
I do as much as I can to prevent that possibility. Example, my suggestion, you forget Mr. Cotswold.
I left the philosophical inspector and went outside where Little Cheetah had been waiting. Every time I looked at Cheetah, it was like a little kid spotting the Empire State for the first time. He smiled a mouthful of white teeth as he said,
"The inspector. He says, forget Mr. Cotswold."
That's right. What do you think, Little Cheetah?
I think I do what you want.
You know what I want?
You want to go see Cotswold.
Think I'm crazy?
You're not afraid. You're not strong like Little Cheetah. But Little Cheetah, think of all the men he know, you would fight hardest.
I don't like to fight, Little Cheetah.
Little Cheetah know that. We go see Cotswold.
Little Cheetah led the way up a long, narrow road surrounded on both sides by high sugarcane fields. Somewhere from not too far away, I heard the drums start again. Little Cheetah stopped, looked off to the north. He began moving his shoulders, slowly keeping time to the steady rhythm of the drums. He began to sing softly.
Oh, hey, oh, hey. Set up a new keeper posse. Oh, hey, oh, hey. Set up a new keeper posse.
What does that mean, Little Cheetah?
It means in your language, it is our papa who passes.
Papa?
Papa Dambala, the great source.
Voodoo?
Yes. Later, I must leave you. Today is Wednesday. This is the day of Papa Dambala. Oh, hey, oh, hey, say Papa Nuki, Papa.
He continued his little chant until we reached the beginning of a long, high fence running along next to the narrow road. Cheetah leaned down and swung a gate open. Then we walked up the path that led through the Cotswold property until we reached the house. There, sitting back between two huge trees, was the Cotswold mansion. I walked up to the front door alone.
Mr. Diamond.
Yes, Cheetah?
Watch out for Mr. Joplin. He guards Cotswold.
Thanks, I'll do that.
What do you want?
I want to see Cotswold.
You do, eh? What are you doing here, Little Cheetah?
I wait for Mr.
Find himself a new governor, what? You must be that fellow Diamond.
I must be.
Well, come in. Mr. Cotswold has been expecting you.
He introduced himself as Jocelyn and led the way into a large panel study. And I met the big man himself, Arthur Cotswold. The drums stopped.
Today is Wednesday. It belongs to the great god Dambala.
So I understand.
Most days of the week are significant in voodoo. Will you have a drink, Mr. Diamond?
No, thank you.
Jocelyn, mix me a gin and tonic.
Yes, Mr. Cotswold.
Thursday and Saturday belong to Uzele Frida, the goddess of love.
I'll have to remember that.
I know why you are here, Mr. Diamond.
I'm glad you do.
For some reason, Gunther and the rest of the miserable farmers think I'm responsible for their trouble.
Of course you're not.
I simply tried to help them. With their cattle sick and their crops gone, I had my banker make them an offer.
Have any of your cattle taken sick?
None.
Pretty strange.
Haiti is a strange land.
Now, you're not going to start talking voodoo.
You're a stranger, Mr. Diamond. There are many things that you would not understand, and I would certainly not try and convert you.
Well, I appreciate your interest, but I intend to find out why Gunther and his wife died.
At this point, I would most certainly give you advice on. Go home, Mr. Diamond. Leave well enough alone.
After I come up with an answer.
Mr. Diamond, I am not a patient man. I have gone out of my way to give you some healthy advice. Heed it. For your sake, heed it.
Well, thanks. I'll let you know what I find out.
You persist in this investigation?
I always persist. In fact, I'm a persistentist.
Before we continue with Richard Diamond, here are a few words about smoking enjoyment. The things we look for most in a cigarette are mildness and flavor. You'll find both of these things in Camels, day after day and pack after pack. No other cigarette has Camel's rich, full flavor, the flavor of costly tobaccos properly aged and expertly blended.
And
no other cigarette gives you this proof of mildness. In a coast-to-coast test of hundreds of people who smoked only Camels for 30 days, noted throat specialists reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels. Make your own 30-day Camel test. Not just a puff, not just a sniff, but normal smoking for about a month. You'll enjoy every puff, and you'll know without question how mild Camels are, how well they agree with your throat. Yes, and you'll see why. More people smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
How mild, how mild, how mild, how mild, how mild, how mild can a cigarette be? Make the Camels 30 days fun and you'll see. Smoke Camels and see.
And now back to Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
I left Arthur Cotswold cooling his fist with a gin and tonic, went back to Cheever, and he led me back to town. On the way, I got an idea. When we arrived in town, I sent little Cheever back to the Gunther farm. Then I went in to talk to Inspector LaPlanche. The inspector had received a wire from one Lieutenant Walt Levinson, 5th Precinct, New York Police.
Well, I had no idea the New York police were interested in this affair.
They're always interested when someone drops dead. Now, here's something pretty interesting, Inspector. Mr. Gunther died of a disease known as brucellosis, commonly known in cattle as Bang's disease. Ever heard of it?
I'm not a medical man, Mr. Diamond.
Well, it's undulant fever. Both Gunther and his wife probably caught it from their sick cattle.
What do you intend to do?
Well, I think those cattle were infected deliberately, and the cane fields burned purposely. If the cattle were infected deliberately, there must be some of the brucellosis still around, and I'm going to find it. Maybe at Mr. Cotswold's. I think you better issue a search warrant and come with me.
Mr. Diamond, the middle of the road, remember?
I think you'd better forget the middle of the road, Inspector. Unless you want me to get in touch with the authorities and have you held as a material witness in a murder case.
I will issue the warrant.
I kind of thought you would.
I will issue it, but you certainly do not think it will be enough to get you into the Cotswold house?
No, but it'll make it legal. I sent little Cheever back to collect some of his friends. They're going to help us get in that house, Inspector.
I will have no part of violence.
Oh, they won't even be with us. It would be easy to search the Cotswold place if Cotswold was out fighting a fire.
Fire?
Just a harmless fire, Inspector. But far enough away so that Cotswold will think it's his cane field.
Oh, well, then I will certainly issue the warrant, Mr. Diamond. As long as we are going to do everything open and above board, I will certainly issue it.
Welcome back to the gutter, Inspector. The view isn't much, but you can't miss where you're going. Let's go get little Cheever.
all those natives doing at the Gunthers?
I don't know.
It looks like something's wrong.
We piled out of the car and pushed our way through the crowd of natives. Inside the house, we found what was wrong. Lying in the middle of the room was Little Cheaper. He was almost dead when I knelt beside him.
I talked to friend. They light fire for you.
Thanks, Cheaper.
Now, Dumbalo Red or take me.
He's been stabbed.
They cut him in two. They got him from behind. Never would have faced him.
You stay. You see, wait till non tete your mort.
See what? It is a ritual. It means taking the spirit from the head of the dead. He wants you to see it.
You stay. You believe voodoo.
All right, Shiva. I'll stay. Now, who did this to you?
Not see. In back.
He's dead. I'll never forget. The inspector knew what was coming, and he wanted no part of it, so he waited outside. I don't know whether I can describe it, but I'll try. And even though I saw it with my own eyes, I still don't quite believe it. The natives came into the house and picked up Little Shiva. They placed him on a bench, and the ceremony began. Some of them had already obtained the necessary items used for Waitiloa non tete yom mort. They included several live pigeons, olive oil, 30 pieces of fat pine wood, a pair of chickens, some coarse cornmeal, and a saddle blanket, and a large white plate. Little Chiva's body was covered with a blanket, and then the pigeons were killed and cooked without seasoning. The cornmeal was roasted, then placed in a white plate. The 30 slivers of pine wood were lighted and carried by the natives like candles. Then one of the natives took the white plate with the meal in one hand and the pot with the chicken in the other and approached the fire, chanting a strange dirge. Nearly ran out of the screaming memes. As he finished the last line of the chant, the dead body of Little Shiva sat straight up with straining eyes, bowed its head, and fell back.
You look a little pale, Mr. Dapper.
Well, I can't understand why. Probably because my blood's hiding in my feet.
What do you think of voodoo now?
Well, let's forget it, shall we? I haven't got the money for a good rest home.
Yeah. We're close to the Cachuelas.
Good. Let's park it here and wait until the fire starts. The inspector and I sat in the car and waited while the moon climbed up over the clouds and the drums in the distance tangled my nerves into complete knots. After about an hour of waiting, a dull glow to the south started the expected commotion in the Cotswold household, and we climbed out of the car.
Fire, Mr. Cotswold! The cage field! Fire! Hit the cabin! Get everyone out there to fight that fire!
It had worked. The inspector and I stayed to the shadows until the last man went running out of the house. Then we went in. We worked as fast as we could. We took the place apart. Then I must say, the timid inspector had really gotten out of the middle of the road. He tore the place apart like he'd spent most of his time on a wrecking crew.
I have not found a thing.
No, the house is clean.
There's a bar.
Then let's go. We went out of the house and headed for the barn about 50 yards away. The drums were louder now, and the dull glow of the fire had nearly vanished. It was obvious that the inspector and I had to work fast. He took one end of the barn and I took the other. We went toward each other. Just about the time I was ready to give the whole thing up.
Diamond! Diamond!
Inspector, you find something?
Yes, half a drum of forgetla.
That's not enough.
This bottle, hidden under this box?
Well, that's more like it. Let's get it back to town and have it analyzed.
That won't be necessary, Mr. Diamond.
Cotswold.
It was Cotswold, and he had three things on his side that made the situation very uncomfortable. His bodyguard, Jocelyn, and two guns. They stepped through the open door and moved up to us.
I see you found my secret, Mr. Diamond.
This is the stuff you've been infecting the cattle with. And this is what killed the Gunthers.
That's correct. You see, you should have really taken my advice and returned to the States.
You'll be held for murder, Cotswold.
Who will convict me, Mr. Diamond? No evidence, no one to testify. I'm surprised at you, Inspector. I thought you had more sense.
Sometimes a man finds his pride and does the best thing.
You know, of course, I can't allow either of you to live.
No, we had a hunch. Now tell me something. Who killed Little Cheever?
He was getting to be a nuisance. I had Jocelyn here attend to the matter.
What's that? Diamond.
Mr. Cotswold, look!
Well, now, I want to tell you, I'd seen a lot that day, but that was just a little too much. The howl had come from the open door, and standing in it, framed against the yellow moon...
It's him! It's Little Cheever!
No! No!
But there he was, and he looked even bigger as he shuffled toward the two men, his arms swinging at his sides like two giant sledgehammers. He was going all the way. He hadn't just come back from the dead to sit up. He was taking a walk.
Get away! Get away! You're dead!
Shoot him!
Shoot him!
But Jocelyn was too terrified to even raise his arm. The big native reached out, grabbed him with both hands, and crushed him like an egg. For a minute, I was too stunned to move. Then when I saw Cotswold bring up his gun, I threw the bottle. It stopped him long enough for the big native to drop Jocelyn's limp body and charge in. Like an idiot, I had some stupid reason for wanting Cotswold alive, so I tried to head Cheever off. Ever try to stop a freight train with both hands out? He brushed me off, and I crashed into the wall just as he grabbed Cotswold.
No! No!
He picked him up, raised him high over his head, and threw him the length of the barn.
Diamond, he's coming over here.
Now, look, 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 old boy. It's me. It's me, Diamond. Little Cheever, please, I...
Me not Little Cheever.
What? I should have guessed.
Should have guessed what? What is this?
This is Big Cheever.
Big Cheever?
Oui, me Little Cheever's brother. Me paid back for kill Little Cheever.
Oh, good gosh. I never thought I...
Oui, me Big Cheever. Come, I take you back to Gunther House. Little Cheever, say you good man. I be your servant.
Well, if you don't mind, I just think I'll head back for the States and lie in a warm tub of mud for the next 6 months. Tell me something, Big Cheever.
What do you want?
You don't have a big brother, do you? Dick Powell will return in just a minute. More doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette, according to a repeated nationwide survey. Doctors in every branch of medicine, doctors in all parts of the country, have again been asked what cigarette they smoked. Again, the brand named most was Camel. Yes, according to this survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Friends, try Camels and discover for yourself the reasons behind Camel's great popularity. You'll enjoy Camel's rich flavor and cool mildness pack after pack and week after week.
How mild, how mild, how mild can a cigarette be? Make the Camel 30 day tough and you'll see. Smoke Camel and see.
Here's Dick Powell with a special message.
Thank you.
Friends, nothing can boost your morale like a gift, especially if you're in a hospital bed. That's why the Camel people send gift cigarettes each week to hospitalized servicemen and veterans in this country and overseas. This week, Camels are on their way to Veterans Hospitals, Rutland Heights, Massachusetts, and Lyons, New Jersey, U.S. Naval Hospital, Quantico, Virginia, and to all hospitals operated by the Far East Command of the U.S. Air Force. Now, until next week, enjoy Camels. I always do. Men, has your pipe got your tongue? Well, switch to Prince Albert, the National Joy Smoke. PA's Choice Tobacco is specially treated to insure against tongue bite. Yes, and it's crimp cut, too, for smooth, burning, and cool smoking. Get Prince Albert, rich, flavorful, and with a delightful natural fragrance. It's America's largest selling smoking tobacco. Listen next week for another exciting transcribed adventure of Richard Diamond, starring Dick Powell. This is your FBI. The official broadcast from the files of the FBI follows immediately. Stay tuned. This program came to you from Hollywood.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast. Retro-OTR.com
Well, I was just leaving, sir. Goodbye, Mr. Scott. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Willie.